Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. End of the line, Joel says, even CNN realizes that younger immigrant demographics in America and Europe are Arabian youth with an affinity for Islam, Palestine. Yeah, it was quite surprising to see Wolf Blitzer going hard in his questioning. I mean, he didn't even have to go hard, but the atrocities on the Israeli side are so careless and so obviously uncaring of civilians that just one question was enough to push the Israeli side, and we'll have a look at the video later. The Israeli side had to admit that basically they were supposedly targeting a commander of Hamas, but it turned out that there were thousands of civilians around the commander. And it's so funny because at some point in the interview, he says, we also think there might have been tunnels where we dropped the bomb. We'll give you some information later. Wait for the information. It's like, did you know there were tunnels or not? And even if there were tunnels, you don't drop a bomb on a refugee camp that are basically people who are refugees because you bombed their house. You bomb their house, you tell them they have to leave south, so they gather in camps of refugees, and now you bomb the camp of refugee. Well, you just wanted to commit a genocide. That's what it looks like to me. Some women have some things to say. Let's check in on women.
Why is rent so expensive? What do people do for a living to be able to...
Because you keep renting. You want rent to be less expensive? Stop renting.
...to afford this. For example, one bedroom, one bath, 800 square feet.
Who is making these decisions to pay that amount of money? You are living above your means. You are encouraging the market. And as long as there will be stupid women willing to pay that, it will happen. And there are even guys who will end up understanding, oh, that's the way I can display my wealth to women, so let's get a big apartment.
Is $2,500 a month. Two beds, two baths, 1,000 square feet, $2,500 a month. Two beds, two baths, 1,200 square feet, $2,795 a month. What? Okay, here's one below 2,000. One bedroom, one bath, 699 square feet for $1,995 a month. Three beds, two and a half baths.
Yeah, well, you're just listing the stuff that people are willing to buy. If you're not willing to buy them, don't be in the market and they will have to drop their prices. There was a time where these prices were unconceivable.
2,200 square feet, so not that bad, for $5,200 a month. It's a townhouse. Two beds, two baths, 966 square feet, $2,395 a month. One, I don't understand. Three beds, one bath, come on, for $2,200 a month. And that's for 1,000 square feet. I want to live in a place that I'm happy in, that I feel safe in. Does anybody else have this problem?
Where you will feel safe is when you find a husband and buy a house with him in a place where the house prices are not too high. Unpaused says, JF with a boomer take. It's not a boomer take to acknowledge that as long as there's demand, the markets will show for it. No one is forcing people to live in those highly populated areas that cost a lot. If you just travel a little bit, you'll find there are places totally abandoned in our countries, and they will welcome you with open arms and at low price. And yeah, these people are dependent of the normie economy. It's not a boomer commentary to say, remove your dependence from the normie economy. Stop begging for a job that will have you a salary that allows you only to pay for the strict minimum, only to pay for your rent. Because at this point, corporations are feeding the local economy with people who just want to rent, people who have no other choice. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, if every woman left the workplace tomorrow, think of how much more the corporations would have to pay men. Think of how many more single earners could support a family. Absolutely. And then think about the daycares. The daycares at this point would be undesirable economically. It would be a service that no one needs because the woman would be caring for the babies at home. You would get paid more because the competition for working hands would be higher. And, you know, it's not like women are making amazing amounts of money out there. It's not like they are building wealth in the way our ancestors did. So all of this is for nothing. All of this is a kind of zero-sum game of everyone is jumping at the market to have a career when it's not even desirable and it's not even what society needs. Saturn Shine says there's so much abuse in daycares beside the low IQ environment. Oh yeah, it's so dramatic. Because the daycares are forced to be diverse in their employment. So you're going to end up having your kids, which come from your genes, be cared for by lower standards of parental care, whatever the average standard is out there, because the state is bound to hire these daycare specialists on basically no IQ test, nothing else than the opinion of the hiring committee, which is often itself formed by women who want to diversify their workforce, who want to be inclusive, and they end up being inclusive of a bunch of child abusers. Saturn Shine says, yep, a little boy died from abuse from one in Georgia. Wow, it's so shocking every time I hear these stories. Point of view, you're on a date with a woman in her 30s. Let's see what she has to say.
Hi, wow, you have the exact amount of hair that you have in your profile photo. You have no idea how refreshing that is. sorry, yeah, before we order drinks, can I just lay a few things out onto the table so we're both not wasting our precious time?
Okay, it's a comedic performance meant to mock a 30-year-old woman. I mean, there are advantages and disadvantages with the 30 years old. I will tell you that they are much quicker on the baby making. And to me, with my type of dealing in the dating scene, it fits my personality better. I really like when the baby discussion is on the table within the first few minutes of talking to her. And the 20 years old, you have to kind of pressure them. And it's a whole, you know, impregnating a 20-year-old is a whole enterprise of building a whole context of confidence and, oh my God, I love you so much and we're going to be together forever. Whereas the 30-year-old woman she knows what's up. She knows it's her last chance and she doesn't want to lose any time. To me, it fits much better because it's a lesser investment on the dating moment. And because women are not loyal these days, you might as well go for the low investment because the 20-year-old will leave you years later once she's pregnant. So if you're going to be left, it might as well be with the minimal investment. And the 30-year-old has some great advantages for this. Of course, the 30-year-old is also on average much less beautiful. Stephen Robinson says, JF, I have been seeing realtors from western upstate New York suburbs of Buffalo listing houses with 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms for $40,000, fence yard, 2,000 square feet inside 5,000 square feet fence yard. Well, that doesn't sound like the current housing market, unless you are talking about a very crappy neighborhood. Well, $40,000, is it to buy? Is it to buy the house or it's to rent it? Because at buying price, that sounds like a good catch. Maybe it's your renting price that you're talking about. James says you need Inception for a 20-year-old woman. Ha! Huh. Inception is impossible. But you're totally right. You're totally right. The 20-year-old, you need to prepare a whole system of injecting thoughts in her and making her feel like she's got a super catch. And it's a whole work of a year or a couple of years. Whereas the 30-year-old, she's like, all right, I'm ready. Let's inseminate. I really prefer this. Not because I don't want to develop a long-term relationship. My desire has always been to link myself, tie myself to a woman forever. But given that women don't want this these days, might as well go for the low investment, quicker to the bed type of girl, because the 20-year-old, she wants to use all of these condoms and birth pills, and there's all these steps that you have to undo before you get to the baby. Dino Logovich says, delay having a baby till you're 55, woman. Don't ruin your career. I hope you are sarcastic. I think you are.
Times when we could be answering unread emails. So I'm looking for a husband and someone to have kids with. Ooh, yikes, I know. I'm not saying right now, you don't have to impregnate me on top of these menus. That's just what I'm looking for right now. So if commitment is like the boogeyman to you, I totally get it. But, you know, boo. Also,
I don't know about the comedy of this girl, because I don't know of men who are annoyed by this. I think that she's trying to mock the idea that 30-year-old women are quick onto pregnancy talk. I've never heard a man who comes to me. I mean, maybe I don't hang with enough normies. That I will grant this, that's possible. There are some men out there who are totally lost. They don't know that the goal of life is for them to become a father. And perhaps she's talking about those men. But as far as the men I talk to, the artist of the internet, I don't know that any of you on the chat would be annoyed by a woman going straight for pregnancy talk and saying, I want babies with you. Type 1 in the chat if you would be annoyed by this. Type 2 in the chat if you'd be like, let's go, girl, insemination. I'd like to know what's the proportion in my crew. So number one, if you are in line with her comedy and you do find talk of babies annoying, or number two, if you're willing to go for the baby talk as soon as the girl is ready.
I have never come to completion solely by having an eggplant inside of my flower garden. It's important that you know that. In my multiple years of being sexually active, it's never happened, not once. So I appreciate you not making your entire personality about being the person who changes that. It's going to affect your man.
What I don't like about this kind of comedy is she seems way too good at being annoying. Have you followed courses, or is that just your natural state of being, lady? You are annoying. You're acting out an annoying woman, but you're too good at it. I think you're a little bit like this.
Manhood, I'm probably just not the girl for you, and I'm definitely not going to spend the next 10 years pretending like I am, if you know what I mean. I'm a feminist, shocker, and I'm not necessarily saying you have to be. Labels can be weird. I just would prefer you not think that any man who willingly went to go see Barbie was gay by default.
Full error here on the Barbie. Barbie was based. The normies didn't get it, but it was based.
Also, that being said, my best friend's on standby and she will come save me immediately should you say anything even remotely resembling an Andrew Tate quote. That one's just for my safety. Now, last but not least, I'm looking for someone who wants me as a partner, not a cheerleader. The blonde hair can sometimes throw people off. So if you want a little more rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, Chris, I love that for you. You're a very attractive man. That's why you're here. I'm sure you can find a variety of options available to you at the local mall. And that being said, Chris, do you feel like we're on the same page? Can we order a drink and try not to talk about our ex for the next hour? Or are we reading different chapters?
Yeah, she's very annoying. You have to be careful in comedy not to become as annoying as your subject. And I think that's what has happened here. The bellwether has sounded. Wow. Elon Musk is totally white-pilled. He says there is a great awakening from woke, which has happened after South Park nails coffin. So apparently there was a South Park episode where they blasted the Disney, the woke corporations of this world. And Elon Musk says it's a great awakening from woke has happened. This is good for civilization. I don't want to be the party pooper here, but I think that woke may have just a downturn, but the fundamental errors of the normie leftist and why ultimately the general public is woke, kind of, or is at least kind of open to this kind of discourse. I think it still stands there. I don't think we are in a revolution. Certainly what Elon has allowed on Twitter is that other people can be heard. It's not now the only possibility of discourse without being banned. But I don't think we won the hearts of the normie, and the woke will still live. That perhaps their biggest exaggerations will kind of go down, and people will start being annoyed by overly trans talk with trans LGBT activism straight in front of the children. I think people will slowly become annoyed at the peaks of woke, but the bottom of woke will still be there in our institutions, in our academia, in the whole ginarchy, basically. Lendald Guntram says, the woke is deeply entrenched, so better do not get lulled into sleep and non-existence. Oh yeah, it's still out there, no question. Dick Masterson says, great, Tom Cruise just fucked over the future of AI for all of America. Thanks, buddy. They are describing an event where Biden, the issue of AI was seemingly inescapable for Biden. At Camp David one weekend, he relaxed by watching the Tom Cruise film Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. The film's villain is a sentient and rogue AI known as the Entity that sinks a submarine and kills its crew in the movie's opening minutes. If he hadn't already been concerned about what could go wrong with AI before that movie, he saw plenty more to worry about, said Reed, who watched the film with the president. Well, perhaps if Joe Biden wants to truly know how AI kills us, read The Revolutionary Phenotype, Joe. I didn't know that Joe could still process information. But since he... personally, I have difficulty watching through a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie. I tried the recent one. I got 2 minutes through it, and... it's just too much. It's not cerebral enough. It's too much oriented around action and Russians and Americans and submarines and jumps. It's just in the two first minute, it was too much for me to endure. And yet Joe Biden appears to have had the ability to process the cognitive load. So perhaps Joe Biden could read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Israelis stole land, raped young girls, tortured and massacred civilians. The history of the birth of Israel, published on Twitter as a clip by Suleiman, a man who has been following the conflict recently very well. In the War of Independence, a state is seized by the sword. That's what they told me. You take a country by force. Of course, we kill them. We kill them without remorse. If you killed, you did a good thing. Wow, they were totally culling the entire local population, taking them as prisoner, and then on a whim deciding to kill them. Laughs in murderer.
חתיכה צעירה, נכנס לבית אחד, הכין חדר מיטות, עם מיטל, ברטל זיין אותה.
אחד אנס שם איזה ילדה בת 16, משהו כזה. אתה מבין? אבל זה מכוער מאוד. היה לנו בחור אחד, הוא נפטר פה, הוא היה פרא אדם. הוא לקח פשוט מאוד ורצח אותם בתוך המכלאות.
The guy is telling the story of a murder of a 16-year-old girl as he's laughing. And these people are the people writing articles about me being a murderer. Holy shit, they have their own psychopathic ways.
חוטי ברזל כאלה, עגולים כאלה, אספו כל הגברים. הם יושבים שם כולם על הרצפה, ובא מישהו ולוקח תת מקלע ומתחיל, זה מחליף מחסנית. מה אתה חושב, זה חבר'ה שלקחו את הלוויורים ורדפו אחרי חבר'ה ושרפו אותם.
Look at him, all smiling. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we were going with these flamethrowers, just burning people. Oh yeah, I remember the smell.
זה היה משהו זוועתי, וזה אסור לספר, אני לא אדבר על זה.
מלחמה זה מלחמה. לא כל אחד יכול לדעת מה זה מלחמה. ואני אומר, מי שלא היה שם, לא יכול לשפוט אף אחד אחר.
What happens in war stays in war. You cannot judge us because you weren't there. Well, I guess we weren't there. We weren't trying to colonize an entire area of the world by culling its local population so that our own can rise. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, did you cover the AI executive order by Biden yesterday? I didn't, generally these executive or I didn't even pay attention. I heard about it and I was like, new standards for AI. Oh yeah, I actually read through this. Require that developers of the most powerful AI system share their safety test results. Please understand something. Safety test results are... They are an internal world that you create based on assumptions. The dangers will always be outside of the bounds of your ability to even think about it and truly test. Your testing is going to be limited to some imagined universe of your test. And of course, like, test something like this. Test if your AI will lead to a phenotypic revolution. How would you? Can you guarantee that in the future, any AI you release will not be giving genetic recommendations? Could an AI even know that it's giving genetic recommendation? You're putting these AIs out there and there will be general purpose and people will use them in ways that you haven't planned in your test. And yes, Dino Dogovic says, perfectly safe and tested. That's what I don't like about these executive orders. It's all a big display. But are you going to put criteria on AI? Like, do you even have the beginning of a criteria that would allow you to distinguish what's the difference between an unsafe AI and a safe one? We actually have someone on the encyclopedia, arguably.io, which is a wiki that I started because I wanted to have something to take notes and I wanted to have a server that serves something. But someone, a total artist of the audience, has actually written a extensive list of the risks of AI, made a lot of research. It is a beautiful article. Not that the encyclopedia is very complete. It's really it's a notepad for my community. But this guy went very deep in his research. And I see in his wiki article just more quality than I see in this executive order. Protecting Americans' privacy. Those are all very general goals. But we still don't know if my copyright is being processed by this AI. We still don't know if I have a right for my videos not to be training the AI. We still don't know if the AI is capable of impacting human societies in ways that we couldn't predict in a test. We still don't know if the AI, as it is designed now, could cause a phenotypic revolution, could find a way to modify human society by inputting information into it that leads to its domination over our genetics. And we're still not even at the point where the normies have read the revolutionary phenotype. So we're so far from anything that could be called AI safety that I know it's all bullshit, because it's going to be the people of this industry that are going to be designing the test in the same way the vaccine works. So they did the same for the vaccine. Yes, Saturn shines. Same thing with the vaccines. It's going to be the people who want to sell you the vaccine who are responsible to run the test and report them to the federal government. So it's going to be like nothing. Ariel Suarez says they could be perfectly trained and tested, but for what? Genetic recommendations will be considered desirable. Genetic improvement will be sought. They will be fed data and training models accordingly. Exactly. We don't even have the beginning of a... Where is it that something that humans would think is good could be dangerous in the hands of the AI? We're still in this very naive approach where, oh, well, if it serves human purposes, it's good, right? So that it doesn't end up like the movie I, Robot, where, and it's like, no, you could have, humans could self-destruct with an AI that is fully compliant to what they want. The problem is human desires, given a tool that it shouldn't have had. It is so frustrating to have been on the public space since 2013. We are celebrating 10 years of live streaming right now for Papa JF. And in 10 years, what did we get from the normies? Bad press coverage, smearing, attacks, falsehoods, defamation, but not a single one of these normies and not a single one of these normie scientists and science educators of the public space gives a shit about a scientific theory that has been published now since 2018 and that predicts the end of humanity if we continue in exactly the direction that Biden is taking here. Justin, Biden's popularity plunges among Arab Americans, the first national poll of Arab Americans since the war in Gaza began, shows how deep that sense of betrayal goes, with only 17% of Arab American voters saying they will vote for Biden in 2024, a staggering drop from 59% in 2020. The damage isn't limited to Biden. Just 23% of Arab Americans identify with the Democrat Party, marking the first time a majority did not claim to prefer Democrats since the Institute began tracking party identification in 1996. Those identifying as independents rose to 31%, the highest it's ever been. That is a very interesting data point, because we may be at the door of an internal mutiny inside the Democrat Party. The Arabs themselves are not a super important demographic group in the US, but we are also always in presidential races where just a person below or above can change the outcome. So I think it's very encouraging to see that the coalition of the left is crumbling under their own contradiction. We might have a Biden losing in 2024 if you include the Arabs being very pissed. And you can also include, you know, some of the black population is kind of Palestinian sympathetic, and some of the liberal Hispanic, liberal blacks, you know, a part of this population can be very sympathetic. to the Palestinians. They see this from a perspective of the oppression of a minority in Israel. And so you might have some surprises. I think it puts us in the right context for a hope of Trump perhaps winning, if he can be the candidate. Silver Spider. I need to yawn because I'm tired, but I'm doing great. I love yawning. It's a sign of that I'm in a psychological state of relaxation. Silver Spider says, same as the people who put regulations on banking, that worked out great. Oh yeah, you're talking about the AI. Yes, it will be that kind of stuff. Internal, corporate internal type of stuff. Saturn Shine says, Trump or Bide, drone. Okay, I don't know what the rest of your chat means. I will not read it. Matt Petgrave killed Adam Johnson during a hockey game this weekend in the UK. He raised his skate blade over 4 feet off the ice and slashed the neck of his opponent, killing him. Ladies and gentlemen, they make up a very small percentage of hockey players, but they make up almost 100% of the hockey murders. Here, Matt Petgrave. I've seen this video. I'm not going to show it on the screen because it's just a hockey player just giving a full karate-style high kick to the throat of his opponent as he was full speed coming with the skates, and so with basically a blade. And the league is trying to pass it as, oh, it was a freak accident, because you can make up a belief where, oh well, he didn't intentionally raise his feet, he just lost control because he was skating too quick and he bumped onto the other guy and somehow his feet lifted. But to me, it looks like most likely an aggression. Most likely because this guy has been repeatedly involved in violence on the ring. So he was the tough guy of the team, going to hit, going to skate quickly cause an impact to happen with other players. And it seems he may just have lost his mind here. He may have been perhaps not wanting to slash the throat intentionally, but certainly wanting to hurt, wanting to hit the other person very strong. That part to me is on purpose. And so, yes, manslaughter at least, says Silver Spider. That's the way I see it. Perhaps I can grant that maybe he didn't have an intent to kill, didn't have an understanding that his skate blade would arrive right at the throat, you know? And perhaps he had the impression that we are so equipped in protection equipment in hockey that the blade wouldn't have its cutting power, so it would just be a kick. Suburban says, chances he will get charged criminally, slim to none. Well, definitely to me, that would deserve criminal charges. But unfortunately, yes, when we talk of minority integration in the field of hockey, there will all be these caveats taught by the liberal order. Like, oh, well, he didn't know what he was doing. The thing is, we have to rethink the conception that sports with a cutting, potentially lethal blade on your feet, in our society, it may not be fit anymore. Perhaps in a society of less aggression, in a society of more demographic stability, perhaps in those societies it was okay. But a society like ours is not a place for sports that involve carrying lethal weapon with you. Because that's the way it's going to turn. The lethal weapon is going to be used by someone at some point. Personally, I'm done with hockey. I've been watching hockey when I was young to some extent. Never been a super fan of it. But I don't think it's worth playing hockey anymore. Anyways, it's way too much equipment. You know, all sports of the world are relatively simple. The whole idea of soccer, for example, is anyone can play soccer. It doesn't matter if you don't have shoes, you don't have equipment. All you need is a ball and you can play soccer. You can make makeshift goals with any sort of material, and there you go, you have the conditions for soccer. The problem with hockey is it's so much equipment. We're talking about thousands of dollars just to get started for each player, for each parent training their youth to play the sport. We're talking about having a whole building in which a whole ice rink is preserved and progressively iced with a Zamboni. It's way too complex of a sport. We have to go greener. But let's not play soccer because it's ridiculous as a sport. The UN just got loomered. Y'all, says Richard Spencer sarcastically. This has made the round. I had talked of it yesterday. The Israeli coalition wearing yellow stars on their suits as long as the UN isn't denouncing the violence committed by the Palestinians against Israel. I mean, can you believe the chutzpah of this? Like, you have killed already much more than Hamas has killed on their side. So if there is violence to be criticized, it is the violence that you've committed in some massive way against the children of Palestine, the innocent civilians of Palestine. There is no way in which the UN could do a unilateral deploring of the Hamas violence without mentioning the fact that you are currently killing thousands of Palestinian children already are dead, and their whole society is being destroyed, turned to rubbles. Raised Fist says JF Matty McSorley was found guilty of assault with a weapon on for smashing an opponent in the head with a stick during an NHL game. Of course, he is white and the victim is black. I know that there is a couple of cases of hockey altercations that have turned into criminal things. I don't know how this one will turn, because I don't know if he will be able to sell the whole idea that this was an accident, that he lost control. Unfortunately, people who don't understand skating very much would be part of the jury, presumably. And the thing is, you can totally control this, whether you will fall with your feet 4 or 5 foot in the air, or being in a place that's less dangerous. It was a karate kick, as far as I'm concerned, a karate kick with skating speed. That is so much more dramatic than just a karate kick, because you can acquire a lot of kinetic energy, you know, when skating, because there's barely any friction. That's the whole idea of skating. It's a very low friction environment. So you will be achieving speeds that are higher than those you would be if you were jogging, because when you're jogging, you're combating the friction speed of your feet to the ground, of the entire friction of your knee system. Whereas when you're skating, it's all about zero friction sliding between the blade and the ice. So the yellow star demonstration, quite callous, quite ridiculous to be doing this, a reference to the Holocaust when you're committing one. That is how ridiculous it is. Let's have a look at this uh, the CNN interaction, because I think it shows that really the Israelis have overestimated their capacity to win the public favor. And at this point, you have people who should totally be natural allies to Israel, and they're getting paid to do this all the time. But even they have to ask some questions, and here Wolf Blitzer is unable to retain the questions that are shocking, really, which is the fact that this entire Jabalaya refugee camp in northern Gaza was bombed. A refugee camp. This is the place where people are headed because you destroyed the rest of their society. This is the place where people are headed to find temporary sustenance so that they can perhaps go elsewhere and seek protection. Those are refugee camps filled with the civilians who have survived your bombings but who have no more homes to live in. And they bombed this. And as you will get an admission from the Israeli side, they bombed this knowingly. He says this is just the consequence of war. Sorry, Wolf, but that's just what we had to do because there may have been a commander of Hamas in this refugee camp.
Yes, I can. We were focused again on our target, a senior commander, Wolf, and we'll be updating you with more data as the hour moves ahead.
But even if that Hamas commander was there amidst all those Palestinian refugees who are in that Jabalia refugee camp, Israel still went ahead and dropped a bomb there, attempting to kill this Hamas commander, knowing that a lot of innocent civilians, men, women, and children, presumably would be killed. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's not what you're hearing, Wolf.
So there's a first denial. And you'll see that it doesn't hold on to that denial very long. But for now, he's like, no, that's not what happened. Okay, so tell us what happened.
We, again, were focused on this commander, again, who you'll get more data who this man was. Killed many, many Israelis.
So he's telling us, you will know more data about the commander that we were striking. He killed a lot of Israelis. But that is not the question of Wolf here. The question is, did you know, as you were striking this guy, that you were sending your bomb into a refugee camp where you would kill hundreds of civilians?
We're doing everything we can. It's a very complicated battle space. There could be infrastructure there. There could be tunnels there. We're still looking into it, and we'll give you...
We're still looking into... If you want to make a case that your strikes are responsible, you have to find the reasons why you strike before, not after. This guy is telling us, please wait, you know, it's a very complex war. There could be tunnels where we drop the bomb. You should know before. It shouldn't be a conditional. It shouldn't be maybe there was tunnels there. It should be, we were striking for the tunnels and we're sorry about the civilians we killed. But this guy is telling us, we'll be doing some research and you might be surprised that perhaps where we dropped a bomb, there happened to be tunnels, in which case we would have quite a good argument. Well, could, you should have done this research before, not after. Because if you're doing it after, you are merely looking for excuses. You're looking for excuses that are palatable to the American media so that you don't look bad. But you didn't give a shit as you were dropping the bomb.
Give you more data as the hour moves ahead.
We will have more data as the hours move ahead.
But you know that there are a lot of refugees, a lot of innocent civilians, men, women, and children in that refugee camp as well, right?
This is the tragedy of war, Wolf. I mean,
And so he was denying earlier, but now he's like, this is just the tragedy of war. There will be civilians where we drop bombs. So you don't know what you dropped the bomb on. There may be a commander of Hamas. You're not sure. There may be tunnels. You'll know later. But it's the tragedy of war. There will be civilians that are dying. You knew exactly what you were doing. You were just trying to fuck up the recovery effort of the Palestinians who you had bombed their old infrastructure the night before. And now you're trying to bomb the survivors.
As you know, we've been saying for days, move south. Civilians are not involved.
And so he brings back the whole move south. We told them, move south. Well, how do you know? Perhaps the refugee camp was containing people who were unable to move south. Perhaps the refugee camp was containing people who intended to move south, but they had to survive first and establish a capacity for transport. You struck their hospitals, you struck their houses, and they gathered in a refugee camp. And now you struck the refugee camp. It looks like you're hunting human beings here.
All the Hamas, please move south.
I'm just trying to get a little bit more information. You knew there were civilians there. You knew there were refugees, all sorts of refugees. But
so earlier he was denying. Now he's nodding as Wolf lays out the case. You knew there were civilians and you bombed civilians.
You decided to still drop a bomb on that refugee camp.
You decided to still drop the bomb. Still nodding.
Attempting to kill the Hamas commander. By the way, was he killed?
I can't confirm yet. There'll be more updated. Yes, we know that he was killed.
I can't confirm yet. But yes, we know that he was killed. Okay. So you know that you killed a Hamas commander. You don't know who it is. It seems like you were acting on loose intelligence here. The kind of loose intelligence I could produce for you if I'm an employee of the army, it's like, oh yeah, let me write here this little telegram. Yes, I have information that there's a Hamas commander in this refugee camp. The kind of evidence that is not evidence. These guys aren't going to show us videos or stuff like this, which we were shown by Russia, for example, when they were striking civilian facilities to prove that there was some army activity there. We're not going to get any of this. We're just going to get the, oh, well, sorry. This is the horror of war.
About the civilians there, we're doing everything we can to minimize.
The whole thing here, the minimize, that is international law. So he's merely saying, oh, we're respecting international law. Well, is it everything you can? What you could have done is not strike a refugee camp. It's not like this refugee camp was the seat of massive armaments that could have targeted your troops. You are just claiming that there was some commander of Hamas. You don't know who. We're going to have to wait for the confirmation. It is so loose that basically you could say that about every block of Gaza City right now. There could be a Hamas commander. There could be tunnels. You could carpet bomb the whole of Gaza City on those premises.
I'll say it again. Sadly, they are hiding themselves within civilian population. And again, we are doing this stage by stage.
The human shield. I hope that the same way the normies have been introduced to the idea of resistance against vaccines, and we learned so many terms during the COVID pandemic. We learned so many terms like safe and effective. What else? What else did they talk about? Trust the science, that kind of stuff. Flatten the curve. The normies have been desensitized to this language during the COVID pandemic. And I hope that 2023, 2024 are the years where we get to desensitize the normies on the use of the human shield argument. Because every major strike force of this planet has the ability at this point to make video cases and to bring forth solid evidence when they strike civilian areas that there was military presence, there was military material, that we struck at a time in the morning where we expected there to be the least civilians possible. You haven't met any of these criteria here, Israel. You struck a refugee camp, which all hours of the day there will be refugees in a refugee camp because that's where they sleep. So it's not like striking a commercial center, a mall in Ukraine, where if you strike at night, at worst, you're going to have killed maybe a janitor or two, a security guard or two. You struck a refugee camp where people, civilians, were living, including children. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you cover the story about Buffy St. Mary not actually being a Native American, rather an Italian American? I don't know who that person is at all, so you're going to have to send me some links, maybe send them in Twitter, and I'll check them for the next show.
And we're going to go after every one of these terrorists who was involved in that heinous attack.
Yeah, but you cannot excuse one killing of one terrorist. Suppose that we take... You don't seem sure about the terrorist, by the way. But suppose I grant that there was a terrorist in this refugee camp. You cannot kill 500 human shields, as you call them, to get one terrorist. You have to show a little more competence than this. A little more surgical striking ability.
On the 7th of October. Wolf.
He brings back the 7th of October, and Wolf is left totally distraught by what are we supporting here? Which side are we on? Elon Musk says the real battle is between the extinctionist and the humanist. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And the Alt-Type was commenting on this, very safe non-attack and evasion of actual power structures. I agree that this is too pale of a statement, Elon. Too pale, you know more than this. I've been repeating this to Elon for many shows throughout the years. You can't just talk of human extinction when, in fact, what is happening is white extinction. And, in fact, you are misleading people because there is no sign that we are headed toward human extinction because of the demographic situation or the birth rate. Definitely, there are humans who are repopulating the places that were once populated by what now are low birth rate populations. So when you talk of the birth rate and human extinction, Elon, you are being misleading. It is not how many humans survive that matters, it is who survives. And right now we are headed toward a kind of demographic collapse of the European population and a replacement by other populations who won't be able to sustain the societies as we have built them. And so it will all bring everything down back to the kind of sewer-style living, bidonville, as we call them in French, India-style slums type of living everywhere, or African hut type of living across the whole of the continents that will be repopulated as such. That is the problem. It's not the extinction of humanity. And the problem is when Elon is out there saying it's the extinction of humanity, you're going to have some clever leftists and anti-whites who are going to benefit from this deception because they're going to be, hey, I found the solution, Elon. We just have to import more immigrants from populations with high birth rates. The problem is that is the solution to the deceptive way of Elon phrasing the problem. But Elon knows that humanity is not about to go extinct. The birth rate in Africa is plenty to repopulate Africa and, in fact, repopulate areas around Africa. The birth rate in India isn't a problem. The birth rate of white population is what's the problem, and therefore the sustenance of white society is threatened. Dino Rogovich says, Jeff, there are so many garbage dumps, we can all survive for centuries. Yeah, exactly. It's like you could have a massive de-technologization. And in fact, I would even go as far as claiming a massive nuclear war and with hundreds of nuclear missiles exploding across the planet, and life would go on. Humanity would prevail. What you can't have is something like the revolutionary phenotype. And what would be very sad to have is the kind of demographic reconstitution that Elon Musk is promoting through his lies, because he can't say it. He can't say the real thing that's happening, which is white genocide. This is the point at which reality surpasses parody. The Israeli side is going so far in their making up of stuff. This whole meme started around the idea of baking a Jewish baby. Somehow someone on Twitter started claiming this, and there was a lot of humor and comedy made around this, and people were exaggerating the statement. But this is an example of a woman who's not trying to exaggerate the statement. She actually is saying these things. It's not a parody. She added details to the story by saying, they baked a Jewish baby alive in an oven. They murdered his father. They gang-raped his mother over and over and laughed all along while they baked her baby alive in the oven. The Palestinians support Hamas. They love Hamas. No resupply, no concessions, no mercy. It sounds like parody. And I was sure that it was parody. I had to check her bio. No, she's a serious girl and she's saying these things for real. But it didn't happen. And people are asking me, Jeff, how can you be sure it didn't happen? Because if you knew the details of a story in that level of detail, the only thing that could allow you to know this, if everyone has been killed on the scene, and the only way you would know this happened is if you had video evidence of it. Because how would you know all these details that they gang-raped his mother over and over and laughed all along? How would you know they laughed? You would have to have video, and I don't see any video of it. So if you are giving me the description level that requires video evidence or audio evidence, maybe she would have an audio of the laughing, then I will believe you. But you cannot come with that degree of detailed explanation and not have the video or audio, because then I know you made it up. You are going through delusions of persecution. And this is such a typical delusion of persecution because it involves the whole family. It involves the cuckoldry aspect of the man dying as he sees his baby die, as he also sees his wife being raped. It has all of the elements of a delusion of persecution. You have to understand that there is a high proportion of the population, about 50%, that is deluded in their fucking mind, and they will imagine these scenes, and they don't have the equipment cognitively in their brain to tell the difference between the truth and their imagination. And that is what we have here. When we have Caroline Glick, she is describing a delusion of persecution that she has generated in her mind to put herself in the mood of being in that vengeful path. But you've invented it, lady. You cannot have this degree of description of an event unless you were on the scene or you have video. If you don't have any of these two things, you made it up. And it's being called out by Community Notes, and the Keith Woods of this world are doing a wonderful job right now on Twitter, bringing attention to the exaggerations, the atrocity porn that we're seeing on the Israeli side. Man, I'm sifting through the Israeli discourse on this throughout Twitter all day long. And it's like, how would I phrase this in a way that's compatible with everything, every rule and every law? It makes me, like, they make up a lot of things right now, and I can see it because those events are happening live, and so their lies are easy to debunk with the rhythm of it and with the incoming information feeds and the ability to question publicly. If that degree of deception is what reigns today on the public space, that tells you all you need to know about the facts of the past. Okay? That tells you all you need to know about the levels of deception that must have been happening a decade ago, 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago, 4 decades ago, and I'll stop there. I'll stop there. Okay. Stop the count. That's enough deception. The last 50 years of public communication on atrocities, war, and events of the kind, as far as I'm concerned, were a complete lie. If you don't show me video, it didn't happen. Okay? Breaking: Yemen declared they are now at war with Israel. Well, that's how they were titling it. But people were saying, well, it's not really Yemen because Yemen is a country, a government. But the people who are declaring war are the Houthi rebels. Well, I don't particularly care about the details of what you perceive as legitimate government. Still, we have a group of people in Yemen who have started sending missiles toward Israel. A lot was not successful. A lot was intercepted. I don't know about these Yemen groups. Are they serious? I've seen some military parades that people have exchanged on. They have published on Twitter. They do seem to have some degree of military equipment, but I don't know to what extent they can, at their distance, truly hit Israel in ways that Israel cannot defend against, because it seems that they were successful at intercepting their missiles. Reports say that China scrubbed Israel from online maps. China's scathing criticisms of Israel's military campaign in Gaza, where the death toll has surpassed 8,500, mostly civilians, have grown of late, but this week escalated to a new precedent. The Wall Street Journal has confirmed internet users' deepening suspicions that the country of Israel has disappeared from several online maps after the mistake began to gain increased attention. Internet users in China are expressing bewilderment that the name Israel doesn't appear on leading online digital maps. Okay, so seems like it has passed as an error, but initially I was like, is that some official move? Are they already calling out in advance that Israel will disappear? You know, it depends on how much force the enemies of Israel are capable of deploying. But the end of Israel isn't off the table. It could happen within the next few years if this conflict builds into a much more significant conflict. Simeon says, JF, my Afghan colleague just sent me this 5 minutes ago. The Islamic Scholars Union, made up of scholars from different Muslim countries, just gave fatwa calling for jihad. This is scary now. Yeah, I mean, this is the internal network of communication of all these Westerner Arabs. They are following these religious calls a lot. But let me tell you, it's not necessarily indicative of massive action being deployed against Israel. What is most important is what the leaders of nations will do and where they will position themselves. Will we have an Iran willing to go more than words, for example? Will we have Russia eventually getting into this conflict? We had Putin recently say, well, we're fighting the enemy and we're doing it in Ukraine right now. So that seems to indicate a kind of a lack of engagement of Putin on this conflict up to now. But will this change? To me, the religious discourse, yes, it will. It might. It might lead to some isolated cells here and there to be activated by this kind of discourse. Perhaps even some loners, some single individual Muslims trying to accomplish some religious goal of acting in line with the fatwa. But I think we have to pay attention mostly to the leaders of countries. Countries that have weaponry, countries that matter in this conflict. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I keep mentioning dead Palestinian babies to my normie coworkers who say things like Gaza should be nuked. They all justify genocide no matter what. Until I mention I'm part Jewish with ancestors from Germany, it also works effectively in defending gun rights as Holocaust. As Holocaust prevention. Oh my God, that is funny. That is funny. I had not thought about this, but I guess there is a kind of space of discourse given how often we hear this, you know, oh, I'm Jewish. I had relatives in the Holocaust, so I'm very sensitive when talking about genocides. I guess you can pull this in defense of the Palestinians. You can start making the argument that, hey, maybe we shouldn't bomb these babies, you know? And then you let them commit to the genocidal position, and then you hit back with your surprise Jewish revelation, I'm Jewish. My parents were in the my ancestors were in the Holocaust, and to me it's unacceptable to Holocaust populations. It reminds me of the trauma that my family has experienced. That is a very interesting counter. I'd love to see you pull this, Silver Spider. Joe Rogan shoots an arrow at the Cybertruck with Elon Musk. Why is this Cybertruck so? Why is Elon Musk so insistent on the solidity of the boards of this Cybertruck? So here, Joe Rogan, as part of his interview of Elon, shoots an arrow. Oh boy, it kind of did a spark or something. Or maybe it's the clash of the arrowhead. You can see a splash. Well, you know, it did leave a mark here. So it's like, okay, you want to brag about these super rough panels of yours, Elon. But it's leaving a mark in the same way it would have left a mark on my freaking Mirage, Mitsubishi Mirage. Okay, maybe the mark is smaller. Is that what's wonderful about these panels? Is that what you're bragging about? Because then there was this other event where someone throws a rock in the window, and the window was supposed to survive, but it didn't. So basically, your truck is just a little more solid than your average Mitsubishi Mirage. Canadian intelligence, CISI, claims that Iran has hundreds of sleeper cells in Canada. I believe them for once. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, sleeper cells is a very loose term, but no doubt there are people in the Muslim population who ultimately feel bound by their racial interest and could act in various ways depending on how they feel their religion wants them to act. That is definitely the case. And there are some of these people who are, just like in other populations, they are deluded. And they have some delusions of persecution, and they will respond violently to certain stimuli of society. That is just what it is to live together. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.